we walk around being offended. And how do we grapple with that to say, this is not this person's fault? You know, I need to see things differently. We don't have that. We don't have those tools.
Welcome to the Emotional Intelligence Podcast, a podcast where we explore the intersection of emotional intelligence and leadership. And whether you're a seasoned executive or just starting out in your leadership journey, we're going to share practical tips, inspiring stories, and expert insights to help you develop your emotional intelligence and achieve your goals. So sit back, relax, and get ready to take your leadership skills to the next level. I'm Ismail.
And I'm Samir.
All right. Welcome, everyone. We are extremely excited today to have Cashel Kelly with us. Cashel is a sought-after corporate trainer, transformational speaker, best-selling author, and she has over a decade of experience in diversity, equity, and inclusion, leadership, and particularly EQ. And Cashel's mission is to make EQ mainstream, believing that emotional intelligence is the key to thriving in a changing world. And one fun fact about Cashel that we have to stick in right at the beginning is she's the first female in personal and professional development to receive her own day in the city of Houston. August 25th is officially Cashel Kelly Day, designated by Mayor Anise Parker. So Cashel, so thrilled to have you. Thank you for coming on.
So happy to be here with you guys. The emotional intelligence. I love that so much. So clever.
Thank you so much. And before we start, I would be a remiss not to ask you, how does somebody get their own day in a major metropolitan U.S. city like the city of Houston?
You know, so it was around the time that I launched my second and third book, which is it was like the first of its kind, a prayer guide for entrepreneurs. It was the Boss Men Pray, Boss Women Pray. And so I didn't want it to be pigeonholed into a religious or a church or a spiritual genre. Mm. So what I did is that I got all of our politicians, all of our local celebrities and rappers and, you know, chefs and models. And I've got everybody to come together to do, I'm such and such, and I'm a boss man, a boss women that pray. So it just became this really cool movement in the city. And so the mayor recognized it as well. And they would, and then just was like, hey, it's your own day.
Oh, fantastic. That's great.
So I'm very grateful for that. Yeah.
So very good networker. And you get you can amp people up.
And
so, you know, the first thing that struck Ismail and I about you and your background is really your true entrepreneurial spirit. You've been doing so many different things. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into the space of coaching and speaking and writing about emotional intelligence and leadership topics?
Well, that's a loaded question, but I give you the short version. Is I wrote my first book in 2004, and so that's when we I think Constant Contact was just coming about, and different things like that. I had a friend that that book became required reading at her school, so I had to travel after the students did report about the book, and I end up coaching them, didn't know what coaching was. But then I was like, what do I do with all these kids? And they're telling me all this, they're crying and they're being changed. And no one knew what a coach was. I went online and looked up life coach. Nobody knew what it was. And then I had to niche down to a business coach because people could kind of understand that. So it kind of evolved in that regard. And I started speaking even before that with monster.com. And so I would get certified to go to colleges and be like the freshman orientation speaker and different things like that, even before, you know, the other book. And so it kind of evolved. And I just been doing this for a very long time with the coaching, with the speaking. And I got into corporations because I started training in corporations with Fred Pryor, which was, you know, we've come to your company to train. And so I was with them for years. And then I just started training from there and going into training on leadership and diversity, equity, inclusion, and different things like that. And emotional intelligence became like this buzzword. And I was like, what is it exactly? And so I started to dive into it. The content was so just interesting to me. I started to go even deeper. And then I began to say, why isn't anybody talking about this? Or mainstream, right? Like, why? Like, this is the aha moment right here to a lot of stuff. And then we talk about soft skills and having executive intelligence and having, you know, those kind of things. But no one is mastering that emotional intelligence, which is key to everything. So that's kind of the short version of it all. I've written 6 books so far. I've been coaching. I'm a serial entrepreneur. Whatever I get an idea, I just do it. Like, I just, the funniest thing now is that these bonnets, I jokingly wearing a bonnet because it's like in the Black culture, women, we talk about do not wear bonnets in public. So it's like this big, big, big thing. So I found this bonnet that kind of looks like a hat, and I wore it because I had to fly to Atlanta to do a photo shoot and a video shoot and get the interview. So I needed to protect my hair, but I was like, I can't wear a bonnet in public because we just don't do that.
You're not allowed, right?
We're not allowed to do that. And so I put it on and I kind of posted it. It's a joke. Like, yeah. Hey guys, I got on a bonnet. And everybody's like, that's not a bonnet. That doesn't look like a bonnet. And then they're like, drop the link. We don't buy that. And I was like, what?
That is so cool.
And so I created a bonnet company in 24 hours. I was like, it kind of went baby viral. And I had like 300 people asking me for the link.
Oh, and my God. Like,
well, I'm no fool now, you know?
Yeah.
So Bougie Bonnet by KK came about, and they sold out 4 times in 3 weeks. So
wow.
So it's like, I teach emotional intelligence, guys. I'm not the bunny girl, but I am serving the community with the bonnets as well. But I just do what makes me feel purposeful. I do what makes sense for me. I'm very good at strategic ideas and business and things like that. And I just don't like and emotional intelligence is my sweet spot. It's my baby right now that I'm like, again, you mentioned, Ishmael, I want to make mainstream because we are just so, people heard of it. They think it's a buzzword. They think it's like, you know, it's going to go away. It's the word of the term of the year. And it's just not the case. And people are too arrogant enough to ask what really is it, right? They're too embarrassed to say, what is that? What really is it? I really don't understand it. So we're having to educate them with things like this. And we're having these conversations. We have to educate them because they really don't know.
So as you're now entering the world of work and going to different companies and talking about emotional intelligence, or even in the communities that you're involved in, you know, you talked about the rap community, the art community, the different church communities that you're involved in. Are you finding that emotional intelligence is catching on, or do you think that it's still like kind of underground and people aren't hearing about it enough?
Yeah, it's catching on because Jay-Z said it. Jay-Z said it. And Mark, what's his guy's name? I forget. That used to be in B2K. Not B2K. Some kind of.
Omarion?
Omarion, yes.
That's Samir I know. That's
Samir I know. Omarion. Yeah, that's right. He was like, listen, I have mastered my emotional intelligence and, you know, and people just don't know. So it's catching on. And then it's like this popular podcast on relationships. There's a relationship coach on there that's talking about emotional intelligence a lot. So people are hearing it much more now than they have before, but they're still afraid to like ask. And then they're still afraid to say, this is what I really need. This, I really need this. I can't do without this. It's like right now it's a cool kind of have, but it's not a must have. Right. And we need to make it a must have for people.
It's interesting because people will very blindly talk about IQ and intelligence, and they'll be like, they'll ask for help around that. I need a tutor. I need to take a class. Math, help me with my math. And these are all obviously things that are IQ related. But then when it comes to things that really help, we'll say catapult your life and career, that really revolves around EQ. The numbers prove it. But you're right. There doesn't seem to be as much of a pressure or focus on asking for that. I mean, I think in corporate America, you have pockets of it. They know about it, but it's not something like, we'll say, manager training. That one almost seems synonymous with work. But where's the EQ for managers? training that should be with every company.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting enough. There is a fund here that I think is managed by the mayor, but it's, they give a grant to business owners here in Houston, and so really great people call it a great organization. And I put in a proposal to do emotional intelligence, to offer the emotional intelligence, but I do train them with maybe an hour virtual training, but to do a whole program. And I noticed that the first round, they were more interested in those hard skills, you know, with marketing or accounting or whatever. So I tweaked my proposal to talk about how emotional intelligence is important for running a business, for being a leader, and how money management and negotiation and all those different things, your marketing, your messaging, if you're not. So I had to tweak it to make it make sense for people, for the things that people understand and the people, things that people are into, making money, you know, doing those kind of things. Because, you know, let's face it, that your IQ gets you in the door, but your EQ keeps you in the door. Right. And you make all this money, but you're not going to keep the money without your EQ. And what people don't know, your IQ is developed, you can't develop your IQ past 6 years old. Like just some things you're just not good at, and you need to be okay with that. If you're not a mathematician, math is not your thing, you're not gonna, you know, a tutor's gonna help you pass that test, but your IQ is not going to increase after the age of six, but your EQ can increase every single year. Like you can grow an EQ every year, and people need to know that.
I read a statistic. They measured, I believe, I'm just going to say between 6 and I think it was 66. They followed some people and measured their IQ. And the difference between those ages was 1 or 2% change. So it's very clear. I mean, you got what God gave you when you were born kind of thing. And that's what you
got
to use.
Yeah, that's what you got. You were born with the brains you got, and that's it.
That's okay. Yeah.
But EQ is such a practice, right? And when you can go in, you can learn about it. There's tools you can use to get better at it. And so, Cashel, I want to dive in a little bit on, we talk a lot on this podcast about the four core principles of EQ, right? Self-awareness, self-management, relationship management, social awareness. What is, you've been doing some work to try to get a fifth element added for your core audience. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. And so I guess, look, we know about emotional intelligence, so we forgot to even mention the pillar. So those of you that are tuning in, let's tell you what that EQ is. First, it's your self-awareness. That's you being in tune with who you are, being aware of your traumas, checking in with your feelings. How am I feeling right now? Because a lot of people misdiagnose how they feel. You being very self-aware of who you are. And two would be your, you know, how do you manage those emotions? How do you manage those emotions that come up? How do you properly manage those emotions with your self-management? And then over into your social skills and your relationship management, your empathy. You know, empathy is so far different than sympathy. People get too confused. And so you have an empathy and putting yourself in other people's shoes in that regard. And then that's that relationship management, right? So that's the basis of EQ, is how can you manage your emotions and the emotions of others? And so we forgot to tell you guys that, we apologize, but I was interested in, when I was reading this, African Americans need a little bit more than those four to five pillars, which is motivation is another one as well. Is that, you know, our assimilation when we go into the workplace, when you talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and once we have these particular, things with EQ, now, how do we go back and talk about our trauma? Because we have such a long history of trauma that is underdeveloped that we don't talk about, that self-awareness can't really blossom because we aren't self-aware about our history. We aren't self-aware about the things that America, that our relationship with America or lack thereof. And then you have allies that, you know, want to be allies for the Black community who are not really self-aware about how does this correlate with who I am, you know, because it's like, I didn't invent slavery. I didn't have slaves, and I didn't, you know, so it's that whole conversation that needs to be had when you talk about emotional intelligence, is that how do we really, really master relationship management, and how do we really, really master diversity, equity, inclusion with emotional intelligence? Is with these elements that I'm having them trademark right now, waiting on the trademark, but I feel like we just need a little bit of deeper dive as it relates to emotional intelligence and African Americans and those interested in being allies to the African American community.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. We hope you're enjoying the episode so far. If you want to stay updated on all the latest content and behind-the-scenes action, be sure to follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and several other places by using the link in the show notes. And if it's not too much trouble, we'd love for you to leave a review and share this episode with some of your friends. Your support means everything to us, and we can't wait to connect with you online. Now, let's get back to the show. We're coming up to Black History Month, I think, coming up very soon. So this is it's quite a fitting topic. And I do feel like people underestimate the amount of trauma that has occurred because of things like slavery. And I heard someone was telling me, I believe it was actually my wife telling me, she was in a seminar just starting to celebrate Black History Month and prepping for it. And there was a conversation around why is it that we have so many other cultures that have come into, we'll just call it North America or the United States. Why is it that Black people or African Americans are singled out in that way? And it was so simple once I heard it was Black people were the only people who were brought here, not by choice, they were pulled into this world, and it is a different kind of trauma that they experience. And so I think actually, what's wonderful is you are actually helping by adding one more pillar to this to help mitigate some of that trauma.
Absolutely. If you really think about it, to your point, you know, Japanese people can go back to Japan, you know, Israelites can go back to, you know, Israel. You have, you know, Chinese people, China, Mexican, Hispanic, go back to Mexico, that kind of thing. And when there is a racial slur against a Black person, go back to Africa. We never been to Africa. We were born here in America, right? Like we don't. So we are, if you think about it, we are the only race that is homeless, right? We're a homeless race. So we had to create our culture here with music, with food, with, you know, different things like that in sports and fashion. And so we have created our culture in a country that we're trying to beg to even like us, right? And so we grapple with that, but most people ignore that fact, that they ignore that racism is even a thing. They think the more money they can acquire, they can stay in the suburban neighborhood, drive nice cars, then maybe I would be somewhat accepted by this country, or I can be feel like I made it. But it's just they don't deal with the trauma of that. Yeah, you can live in that nice neighborhood, you can have the nice car, but you still have to have the talk with you and your kids that you will be pulled over in your own neighborhood and possibly killed because you are Black. And it's just that's the undertone, the underbelly of what we have to deal with and that we don't talk about. And so how do you really think about that as a Black man to leave your house every day and have to deal with that and to say, no matter what I do, no matter how much money I make, no matter how far I climb up a corporate ladder, I'm still a Black man. I'm still this. I still have to prove that I'm worth being a human being. I still have to, and you know, especially with politics, make America great again. When has America ever been great for us? So that signals to us that there are some people that would like things to go back to a time where America wasn't so great for us, but we have to live here and we have to, you know, kind of sweep it under the rug. And we're talking about emotional intelligence. So that's why this piece is so important, because there's a lot of trauma associated with that.
Those conversations that you're talking about are where EQ comes into play. It sounds like it goes beyond, say, just personal life or corporate. Well, actually, that's the question. Where do you see the majority of the benefit of having a specific pillar or a specific conversation with Black people? Where is the biggest benefit there?
The biggest benefit is the self-awareness piece. That self-awareness piece is important for everybody. But I think, especially this generation, they are not even aware of the things, the sacrifices. You would hear this generation say things like, I'm not voting, I'm not into politics, or, and they not understand that the sacrifices that were made for you to even be able to drive the car or do the things, or just to say, I want to be an entrepreneur, or I want to do this, just the sacrifices that Black people had to make for you to walk the street and not be, you know, killed. And I, and they don't, they're not interested in it. And they don't understand it. And so that self-awareness piece is important, first of all. And then having that empathy and some people are traumatic and you see violence because they don't know how to regulate their emotions. They don't know how to manage their emotions. And so we have, and there's so many cultural nuances in the African-American community that we have this like secret language, this secret thing, you know, what you see it all the time. When we say things like, you're going to learn a day, or, you know, or when we're angered by something, there's a code, like if you get mad, you know, that doesn't happen. We need to, you know, go after this person if they did this to you, and just these hood rules, if you will. Right. So we're taught to be, you know, that you don't mess over us, you don't offend us, and we not retaliate, and we call like, what did you do then? If that person did what? Instead of saying, no, let's take a beat, let's take it back, because this can ruin your life. This person can go to jail trying to defend your honor, trying to defend hood code, and trying to listen to rap songs and emulate rap songs because they're talking about real life. So you think about all of that, the music that we're talking real life in these rap songs, right? So you think about the lack of emotional intelligence that people have in our community. And then you have people that are listening to rap songs that are outside of the Black community, and just it's entertainment to them. But this is like real life storytelling for us. So that lack of self-awareness and management that we have when we're in a situation, because it's just all we knew. And we are wired to defend ourselves, to be offended and to be that's the root word of being defended, is when you feel like someone's offending you. We walk around being offended. And how do we grapple with that to say, this is not this person's fault? You know, I need to see things differently. We don't have those tools.
And with that, I mean, I completely see where you're coming from, like EQ and personal life and being able to regulate those emotions, but connect it to the trauma that's passed down from generation to generation. Because like you said, this new generation of Gen Z, they don't realize it, but a lot of their behavior is directly from the things they've heard growing up from grandparents and great grandparents and parents who've learned it from generations past. So they might think like, hey, we're disconnected from that. We've evolved, but it's part of your evolution.
Yeah, it is. It's ingrained in them, and they don't even know it. They're not self-aware to know why they do the things they do. They're not self-aware to know why they don't deal with, you know, bullying, cyberbullying. We didn't deal with that when I was growing up, but cyberbullying. And they're so tough. They talk so tough, but they're the most suicidal generation, right? Because they do not have the tools to be strong. And so they try to mask it with so many things, materialism and being loud and saying nothing. They mask all of these things, and they don't understand where their trauma comes from. They're not self-aware at all.
We talk about, Smear and I talk about how when, you know, as a manager, when a good manager will be able to take feedback and criticism, not take it personally, because when you're taking it personally, you go on the defensive and then push it even further, and then you go on the offensive, and that does nothing for you. And what you just described, for not just, we're not talking about, you know, a person who's leading people, you're talking about a culture and this is a human being and their well-being at heart here, right? This is what's on the line. And it is a small nuance. So that defensive trait, is that just an automatic response that you've seen? Have you seen a flip between defensive to more open? What is that like?
So what I'm very despondent about now is that we have what I call a gender war in our race right now, because within Black people, it's a gender war happening with relationships, right? Because it's like when the you come from some women come from a single parent household, right? Because that's a big statistic in the African-American community. And, you know, with statistically men were, you know, going to jail at a rapid rate or in the streets and that kind of thing. And so now they're more entrepreneurs and that thing. But you had women that were going to college and receiving degrees, maybe 70 to 80% more than African-American men. So now you have this a big pool of successful Black women who are uber successful, 5 degrees, you know, the first time, first generation millionaires, and can't find a compatible man because they it's a disconnect, right? So then it's like, well, now men are beating up Black successful Black women saying, we don't care anything about your degrees and what you got going on. We want you to be softer and we want you to love us and we want you to do this. So it's just, it's this gender war happening in the African-American community because the men feel like women are emasculating them with their money and their success and that, different things like that. And you have women feeling as if men are disrespectful and they just are just being sassy, as they call it. So that's what's a really big thing in our community now, is that people don't know how to communicate and they don't have the emotional intelligence or the self-awareness to understand the background that women had to do what they had to do. No one, a woman didn't set out to be successful to trump a man. We did what we have to do. I even had a man tell me that sell your home. If you want to find a man, go sell your house, because you come across as if a man can't help you, can't do anything for you. So if you want a man, you need to sell your house, go get you an apartment, and then you'll be more attractive to a man. So that's kind of, it's just, and it's like, what? And so that is, we are being punished for being successful as Black women because we're too strong, we're too independent, we're too outspoken, we're too this and we're too that. And so so we have this thing going on to where, what do I not celebrate my success? And do I not say this, or do I not, you know, and so that's, but it's a lack again of emotional intelligence. And women think that they're emotionally intelligent because they're emotional, and they're not. Women are not emotionally intelligent. We're just emotional. And men tend to be, they're not more emotionally intelligent than women, but they tend, it's kind of equal, but men are more self-aware than women. But men are not empathetic enough to convey that their self-awareness without being arrogant and disrespectful, right? So, and women are too emotional and think men are supposed to be mind readers. And so it's just a disconnect.
Mm-hmm. I think you're reinforcing how all those principles of EQ fit together, right? Like you having one and not having the other, or one being weighted more than the other, you know, could be just as toxic as, you know,
not
potentially
having it at
all. Right. Exactly. Right. Yes.
Yeah. Or if you have people who have opposing strengths, it's almost like they're two ships crossing in the night because they still can't relate to each other.
Yeah. And you can't have the empathy to think about, what is this person's backstory? Why are they the way they are? You know, why? Because everybody doesn't want to be vulnerable. No one wants to be hurt. That is the underlying issue of all relationship things that are going on, because everybody's scared. Everybody's scared of being hurt. So everybody is being loud and reckless and emotionally, you know, just irresponsible because I don't want to be hurt. That is the core of it all. But we can't even be self-aware or manage our emotions enough to say that in a way where we don't feel like we're being too vulnerable.
If you think about it, there's people who don't have the trauma and history that Black people do who are afraid to be vulnerable. Now layer that all on, and we're asking Black people to be vulnerable, but not necessarily, well, be vulnerable to be successful and to build relationships, but we haven't given them the tools, which I think you're doing a fantastic, it's so nice to hear that this is where one of the things that you're focusing on, because you're making one small tweak, right? Adding a little bit, having a focus, doing what you need to do. And it's a potential life changer.
I think so. And it's just, you guys can agree. It's hard to convey how much of a life changer it is. It's just that people don't care about being better. They don't care about the things they should care about. That's what's hard, is that, hey, I can change your life if you just let me. And that's the hard job that we have right now.
Cause you're not just fighting those people. You're fighting generations of, you know, just ingrained understanding and things like that. So it's, you know, for me personally, I think the cool thing about this conversation is it's really opened my eyes to a lot of new concepts and new ideas when I'm dealing with the Black community at work as a leader. Like, you know, we have a lot of people at my office and previous jobs with Black people. And like, you know, now I feel like I have a better understanding of where they're coming from in certain interactions that I've had, and that's going to help me be a better leader. So, you know, the education that you're giving is so crucial, not just for Black people to better understand themselves, but as you come to, you know, the allies, as you put it, people like us who want to be show up better for Black people, helping us get the tools to understand how we can do that. And I feel like from this conversation, I've already figured out ways that I could be better.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm so glad to hear that. And people even think about, like, the earlier question you said, well, what's so special about Black people that we have to have a whole month, you know, or Black History Month in that regard? Because today, I believe, is the International Holocaust Remembrance Day is today. And so, but what people need to understand is that we are the only race, like you said, that are ignored, that are at jeopardy of being erased. People try every day to erase our history, to take it out of books. They've been successful with that in Florida. And we have so many things that we've built and contributed to this country that are being erased. We have been brought here. That's one thing, but we are, when we was talking about Black Lives Matter, and people would say all lives matter, and then yes, all lives do matter, but we are the only race that are treated as if a life doesn't matter. So it's almost like Black Lives Matter too, is what it is, right? It's not that Black lives matter more than any other race. We are just saying our lives matter as well too, because we are the only race that we are treated as if it doesn't matter. So that's why Black History Month, and I think it needs to be taught even beyond Black History Month. Like, I was pitching to some companies last month and about coming in teaching, because I do a lot of corporate training during Black History Month. And I said in the proposal, even if you missed the deadline to have me come in February, this doesn't need to stop in February. Like, it needs to be, you can have Black History Month every month if you want, if you decide that you are going to care enough about your employees to where we don't have to assimilate when we go into a company. We can be ourselves. We can show up as our full selves at work, and we don't have to be over here with the Black people and people. You know, it's just a lot of trauma. But again, I say with emotional intelligence, that most Black people don't even understand the trauma that they're dealing with. They don't even understand what's happening. They just saw, like you said, mama was like this, daddy was like this, grandma was like this, da 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 da. But they don't understand the true mechanism of what's happening, or why they do what they do, and why they don't do what they do, why they don't understand, and why we are kind of always behind the curve, and why they don't understand it. So that self-awareness piece is important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kishel, before we kind of wrap up, and I want to give some time to let you share with people how to get a hold of you and some information, but to the audience, if there is a person that you can share this with that might not know about EQ, share it. That's step one. And I think I'm going to speak for Kishel there. But Kishel, how can people find you? We'll give you the spotlight for a minute and share whatever you think is beneficial there.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And again, thank you guys for having me. I enjoyed this conversation. We probably have to do a part two and part three.
I know, seriously.
topic, you know, we can learn from one another. That's the beauty of EQ, right? Is that we can sit and have conversations and learn things and have hard conversations where no one is offended, no one's uncomfortable. That's the beauty of EQ. You could talk about anything and not be uncomfortable. I just had a situation with some friends, and my friend said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I said, "Why? I'm not upset about that, because some people love you the best way they know how. And you can't get mad at people because they don't have the EQ to do things or handle a situation that you thought that they should do, they should handle. You can't walk around with the spirit of offense because someone lacks EQ. I have enough EQ to know that they were doing the best they could with me. They handled me the best way they knew how. And that was a lot for them. So I can't get upset. But you can find me online at Cashelle Kelly on Instagram, Facebook, and what we have. It's called X now, and Thread, and all that. LinkedIn, and not that kind of thing. And I dabble with TikTok. I don't know really how to mess with that. But you can Google my name and I, CashelleKelly.com, EQwithKK.com is what I really would like people to go there and take advantage while it's free, because it's not going to be free for long. And so while it's free, it's a 5-video series. You can binge it in an hour or less than an hour. You can binge it, right? It has a 26-page workbook, so you can learn EQ. It's fillable PDF. And I also have a course called the Mood and Money Mastery for EQ for business owners, how to master your EQ in your business. So that's how you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, those two sites. Bossespray.com is the site for the book that I have, bossespray.com. And if you want a bonnet, it's bougie bonnet back Italy, whatever. So you can find me anywhere. And I just want to keep this conversation going. I want people to understand that there's not a wrong question. We are all learning together. So don't be ashamed to not dive into emotional intelligence, because it's a form of self-therapy. You know, and it's a form of being better. And it works across the board in corporations, at your job, and in your relationships. You know, your relationships and your friendships can run much more smoothly if you had emotional intelligence and you have in that regard, and you won't be so offended. So I love this conversation. I love what you guys are doing.
Thank
you so much for having me. You would have saw me go mute because I have two Frenchies and they're under my desk snoring. And I thank God they're snoring and not running around. But
yeah, that's great.
We will make sure to share all of those links that you mentioned. We'll share them in our show notes. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
And we will look forward to future conversation.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Emotional Intelligence Podcast. We hope you found it informative and enjoyable. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. And if you have a moment, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave a review on your favorite platform. Your feedback helps us improve and reach more people. If you're interested in learning more about the topics we discussed today, be sure to check out the show notes for links and resources. You can find them by visiting our website. And if you have any questions or feedback, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us by email at info@emotionalintelligence.com or connect with us on social media by using the links in the show notes.